Well, those of you who don't know me, my name is Paul. I usually like to stand over there. I don't really like standing on this part of the stage. Always, my dad was a preacher when I was growing up. I always said, I'm never going to be a preacher. I don't want to be a preacher. That's not me. So the good news is today, it's probably going to be short. I'm not very long-winded, so that's the plus side. So today I'm going to be talking about overcomers and how to become an overcomer. We're going to go through a lot of scripture today. We're probably going to have it up there on the screen for you. If you brought your Bible, go through the scriptures with me, underline, and memorize these things, because that's where our hope lies. Those are our tools, the weapons. That's how we become overcomers. I'm sure all of you have noticed throughout our lives that we mess up a lot. We get beat down a lot. And so we need help. And so today I'm going to give you some tools to be an overcomer, to learn how to overcome. So Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Jesus, to come. Lord, to trust you, to learn, God, from your word. Lord, that we could be like you, we will walk with you, Jesus. I love you, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for your grace. Because, God, without you, Lord, we have nothing, can do nothing. We have no strength. Lord, we fail miserably. We love you, Lord, and just ask that you would anoint this word. Holy Spirit, and I just ask that you would speak through me. God, that I could step back, Lord, and that you would take control. I love you, Father. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said, I've got a whole bunch of scriptures I want to go over, but as I was sitting there during the offering, there's one thing that kind of was going through my mind dealing with overcoming, and it's a pretty amazing testimony. And it's about my son, the one who's playing on the drums today. He's overcome a lot. He's come a long ways. He's battled with dyslexia his whole life. So much so that it's hard for him to brush his teeth, to use a pencil right. His hands, just something from getting to his brains to his hands to hold it right, has just never been there. And for him to be able to sit and play drums as well as he did today is incredible. When he was 4 and 5, we tried to get him in some t-ball and baseball, and he was so scared that every time he just tossed the ball, he would just react and flinch. Every time, even from my foot, we had to start close and work our way back. And loud noises, he still can't handle loud noises, so demolition derbies, monster trucks, he can't hardly handle them. He has to have earplugs and earmuffs, and it's still almost too loud for him. And so for him to even play in a drum set is like, wow. And that's so, it's loud, but like I said, it's come a long way. This last year, he got to play quarterback for this football team. And it's just awesome. And I'm sure you can't even understand how far he's really come. But I just wanted to share that testimony of overcoming. That we all have something. There's always something in your life that's going to try to kick us down and try to tell you you're not worthy, you can't do it. Give up. No? Gotta keep pressing on. So I'm going to start in Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. This is after Jesus had been baptized. And he was out in the wilderness and he was fasting for 40 days. I can't hardly fast one day, but I'm over 40. And I'm going to be reading in the King James Version, so follow along as best you can. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were in it, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If you be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered and said, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If you therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, Thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. Now, I believe Jesus could have done anything he wanted. He could have crushed Satan right there if he wanted to, just with the word. But I believe he went through this as an example for us, to show us how to overcome, how to be victorious. And that's simply by the word of God. You'll notice that each three of those times, Jesus quoted a scripture from the Old Testament. Throughout the years, I've done different music ministries and different things, and dealt with struggles from my past. And every time people come up and talk to me and say, how are you able to get through this? How are you able to overcome it? And I said, there's really the one main thing that I could say that got me through it is the Word of God. By reading it every day, memorizing these scriptures. Just like Jesus did. He didn't just say some flippant thing. He could have said whatever he wanted. But he decided to use the word because that's where our power is. It even says that the word is like a two-edged sword. Sharp. And that's where our strength lies. And so people would ask me, so how do I overcome? I said, first of all, you need to pray and read every day because those are your weapons. And secondly, you need to have some kind of accountability, somebody that you can talk to, that you can trust, that's not going to judge you or beat you down every time you mess up. So they would call me about every other week and say, man, I'm really struggling. I said, have you been reading your Bible? Well, no. It's like, oh, man. Trust me, you're not going to overcome this thing without the Word of God, without prayer. You can do all the other steps, but if you're missing that one key, it's not going to work. Like making cookies without flour. If you don't have the one ingredient, it's not going to be very good. It'll be sweet. It's not going to have any substance to it whatsoever. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. It says, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? I want you to try to remember these scriptures. When you're feeling down, you're just downcast and beat up, and the devil's attacking you on every side, saying, you know what, you're a failure. Look what you just did. You think God's going to forgive you? You think these people are going to love you anymore? And God before me, who can be against me? That's our strength. That's where we find our hope. Memorize these things. Get these stuck in your mind. Read them over and over and over again until they just sink in. Because then when the devil attacks you, it's there. Man, if God is for me, who can be against me? Devil, you have no power here. I cast you out in Jesus' name. That's where our hope lies. That's our strength. We can't overcome by sitting still. Faith is action. By faith, we step out and trust, and we learn to trust. Faith isn't saying, I'm going to sit here on my couch and hope bread or a meal ends up on my table. It doesn't really work that way. Unless you're Elijah and God says, stay in this cave and I'm going to bring you food by a raven. But otherwise, by faith, I go to work every day and I'm going to receive a paycheck. By faith, I do it all week long. So at the end of the week, I do get paid. And then God supplies my needs and there's food on my table. That's faith. Faith is saying, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to step out and I'm going to do these things, even though it doesn't feel right. Even though I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. Faith is action. Faith is doing. Standing up for what's right. In 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, see if I can find it. Chapter 5. verses 14 to 23. It might be easier for you to turn around when you're at the board. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning Christ Jesus. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all these things that he's talking about, pray without ceasing, quench not the spirit, avoid the appearance of evil. That's how we overcome. These are all little key examples, little steps that we take every day to become an overcomer. It's a choice we have to make, even though it feels impossible. Sometimes it feels like, I can't bear this anymore, it's too much for me. This is what I was talking about, that strength. By having these scriptures you can go back to and say, no, I have hope. There's something I can do. God, give me strength. And another overcomer in the Old Testament, I'm not going to go into these scriptures, but in Genesis, I'm sure Matt will probably touch on this in the next few weeks. But in Genesis chapters 37 through 41, it talks about Joseph. And when Joseph was young, he was kind of a favorite child, if you will. His father had two wives, and the one wife couldn't have kids, and the other one had many children. And Jacob... Anyways, when Joseph was born, because his wife finally had a child, he loved him above all his sons. And the brothers didn't like that. Not very well. And so one day, his father gave him a coat of many colors, saying that when you grow up, you're going to be my heir. You're going to have all this property, everything we own. It's yours. But one day, his brothers were out tending their flocks. They'd taken their sheep to another country. And so his father said to Joseph, go and see your brothers. I want you to check on them and see how things are going. Well, at this point, his brothers hated him. They didn't want anything to do with him. So when Joseph got there, they said, oh, here he comes in that stinking coat Dad gave him. And one of the brothers said, let's kill him. And the other brothers were like, yeah. And the one brother said, no, can't do this. We can't have a brother's blood on him. Well, there happened to be a pit there. So when Joseph came in, they grabbed him, tied him up, and threw him in the pit. Well, they hid him in the pit for a day or two, and they said, we got to do something. We can't kill him. We can't leave him there. Well, some slave traders came passing through, and they said, hey, let's sell him. So they sold Joseph to these slave traders, and Joseph was taken to Egypt. And he was sold in the market to a man named Potiphar. Now, Potiphar was Pharaoh's right-hand man. Well, Joseph, because he loved God and he was willing to work hard, became favored in Potiphar's house, to where he was pretty much in control of everything Potiphar owned besides himself. Well, Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph and kept coming to him all the time and saying, hey, I want you. I want to be with you. I like you. And Joseph's like, no, I can't. That's a sin against God and against your husband. Well, one day when everybody was gone, she found Joseph in the house, and he tried to flee, but she took his raiment that he had around his waist, and he took off running. Well, with the raiment in her hand, she screamed, and all the guards came in and said, he tried to rape me. So Joseph was put in Pharaoh's prison, falsely accused. Now, while Joseph was in prison, Pharaoh had two servants, the baker and a man who held his wine cup. And they both were put in prison because somebody had stole something. Well, they had dreams while they were there, and they found that Joseph could understand dreams or could interpret dreams. And so he went to them and heard their dreams and told them exactly what was going to happen in the next 3 days. The one was going to be killed, and the other one was going to go back to the service. Sure enough, this happened. I believe it was almost 14 years Joseph was in prison. Even though he had done all these good things, he was a prison guard's right hand man. He took care of the prisoners and did all these things because he was just smart and knew how to do all these things. But one day, Pharaoh had a dream, and it troubled him. He had this dream over and over and over again. Well, the man who held his wine glass, the one that came back to him, said, "Pharaoh, there is a man who interpreted my dream, and he was right on. So we'll bring him in." Well, Joseph interpreted the dream. The land was about to be in famine. They're about to have a drought for 7 years. And Pharaoh said, "Well, there's no other man that I can think of who could be in charge better than you." Now, those are some serious things to overcome. I guarantee not one of us has had brothers try to kill us and sold us to slaves and had our boss's wife lie about us and go to prison, and more serious prison, and help the Pharaoh's main helpers, and they forget, so he spends another 10 years in prison. And yet, he never doubted God. He trusted God the whole time, even though it was uncomfortable, it was miserable, he was treated poorly. But eventually, God rewarded him. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to struggle for the next 15 years, or all these people are going to lie about you and you're going to have to go to jail. But God allows these things. God allows the discomfort, things that look horrible, look completely against us. He says, "You know what, just keep trusting. I'm going to get you through this." Now, in 1 John chapter 2, there's a few things he talks about that we need to try to avoid. Become an overcomer. Starting in verse 15 through 17. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever." Now, those three things pretty much cover everything that we struggle with. Things that want to beat us down, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That covers sin, adultery, lying, stealing, cheating, our own pride that keeps us from admitting we're wrong, that keeps us from helping our spouse, or making a good choice at work. And he says, avoid these things. Eternity is too long to be wrong. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But of God, of all the grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered, while making you perfect, establish, strengthen you, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." This is just another reminder that it's every day's battle. The devil is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he's going to devour. And I'm sure probably almost every one of you in here says, "Man, I feel that every day. I feel like I'm just being beat down, being tore up, whether it's from other people, my own conscience, the things I do that I regret." But here's the scripture that I wanted to focus on today. This is the one that you can claim in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." That is so powerful. I speak that scripture all the time, almost every day, because I'm human. And there's still the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the part of life that want to attack me every single day. But like that scripture says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. No matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter how I fail, how deep in the dirt I bury myself, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You don't have to be defeated. You don't have to be condemned. You don't have to listen to the lies of the devil. You don't have to listen to the lies of the people you're around. Because you know what? Greater is He who is in you than He who is in this world. That is really where our strength is. In another scripture, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, I love this scripture. And he's talking about when the saints in the end times, I don't know, I'm not sure if this is after the rapture or those who were martyred for Christ. In chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimonies, and led them out their lives to death. But that's a hard one to swallow. Our society teaches us to preserve our lives, to do everything we can to make our lives last as long as possible. But this says they love not their lives unto death. Now he's not saying to walk around and say, don't take care of yourself. Don't eat right. Don't exercise. Don't do these things. It's a waste of time. No. He's saying, I should be more important than these things. The choices you make when somebody comes up to you. In these other countries, Christians are persecuted and killed almost every day. And they have to make that choice. Am I going to stand up for Christ? Am I going to love him? Why don't I love my own life? Or am I going to lie and say, no, I don't really believe in Jesus, just to save my own skin? There may come a time. We don't really know. Only God knows the day or the hour. But there may come a time in our country when Christianity is not acceptable anymore. When it's not okay to be a Christian. They're going to call you a hater. And they may want to put you to death. And that's where we have to have a relationship with Christ and be able to say, you know what? I love him more than anything. Eternity is forever. This life is so short. But you know what? Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And by the blood of the Lamb, what Jesus did for me on the cross, by the word of my testimony, what Jesus did for me, what he took me from, the shame and misery that I lived in for years, they overcame it. They overcame that wicked and spend eternity in heaven with Jesus. I guarantee you, eternity in heaven isn't going to be boring. I read somebody's description of what heaven was going to be. The angels in heaven, there's a scripture where it says, and the angels bow down, and when they look up, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And every time they go down and come up, they see a new attribute of God. They say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Go down and come. And they see another one forever and ever and ever. God is not limitless. Our minds can't even wrap around that idea. And there's so much splendor, so much awesomeness in God that forever he can show us something new that'll just blow your mind. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, it says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. These are his promises. Those are the words of Christ right there. They're in red. He says, him that overcomes by all these things, by standing on his word and saying that greater is he who is in me, by your testimony, what Jesus did for you, he said, he that does these things, he's going to sit with me in heaven. I'm going to show him favor. I'm going to show him how much I love him because of these things. And in Zechariah chapter 4, it's much longer than what I was going to say, but he says, it's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that's how our overcoming really has substance, is when we realize that we can't do it. We don't have the strength to overcome. We can try for a while, but unfortunately, we will probably fail. We will probably mess up. But Jesus says, you know what? It's not by your strength. It's not by my core power. It's not by how strong you are, how good you are at all these things. It's by my spirit. The comforter that I promised I would give you in John chapter 14 says, I've given you a guide. I've given you somebody to carry you, to hold you, to guide you through these troubled times, to make you an overcomer. And in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I told you I had a lot of scriptures today. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And those are the things we really need to take to heart and understand. That, like I've said over and over again, we can't do it. It's not by our strength. It's not by our righteousness. And that's another one of the things where when Jesus died on the cross, he fulfilled the law so that we don't have to try to live by these things anymore. He knew in the beginning of time when he told Moses the law and all the Israelites tried to follow these things, he knew they couldn't do it. He already had a plan thousands of years ago before Jesus even stepped foot on the earth. He knew that they couldn't do it, and that's why Jesus had to come. By what he did, living a sinless life, he fulfilled the law. He did everything that the law had required, and then by his death, being perfect, fulfilled it. So that way we don't have to try to do those things. Does that say we can go and do whatever we want and live in sin and make bad choices? No, not really. There's a scripture that says, shall we live in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No. No, we're supposed to walk obedient as disciples, disciplined, to make those choices, to make the next right choice. We might fail, we might mess up, but all we have to do is make the next right choice. Say, God, forgive me. Remember that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I've got three more scriptures, and these are ones to add to your artillery to fight off the devil. It's a guarantee he's going to come after you. Especially when you want to make the next right choice, he's sitting right at your heels. In Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These things are real. Demons and spirits and all these things. I'm not trying to be a spooky weirdo, but these things are real. I've experienced them. I've seen people demonically possessed, running around, cussing kids who were 8 and 10 years old, just foaming at the mouth and cussing out their parents. I've even seen objects that had spirits in them that had to be cast out and thrown away and burned. I've felt oppression so strong that I was literally just shaking and trembling in fear until my dad prayed over me when I was probably about 13 years old. And instantly the peace came and the fear left. I'm not trying to spook you out or freak you out, but these things are real and Jesus warned us of them. And that's why we have to stand on the word. That's why we have to rest in Christ. That's why he had to die on the cross. Because you know it's going to be a battle. It's not just against people. And his people's not really even the problem. It's the lies of the devil through them. I guarantee you when somebody comes after you to just beat you down and tear you apart and tell you how worthless you are, it's not really them. I guarantee it's not really them. The devil uses vessels just like God does. And that's when we have to stand firm and say, you know what? I love you. This isn't you. This is the devil coming after me. In James chapter 4, verse 7. Oh, I love this one. He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And notice the part where it says, submit yourselves to God. That's the faith that I was talking about. That's the action where we have to submit. Say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to try to make the next right choice. And then when we do these things, we can resist the devil and he's going to flee. There was a scripture, I believe, in Acts, when the disciples were going around and Paul the Apostle, and they were healing people and casting out devils. And there were 7 sons of Sceva. They went to a man who was possessed by the devil and said, in the name of Jesus Christ and by Paul the Apostle, we command you to come out of this man. And they said, well, we know who Paul is, and we know who Jesus is, but who are you? And the man jumped on these 7 men and just beat them up and tore their clothes off until they left. And that's where Our relationship with Christ is so important. By spending time in His Word every day, and I'm not telling you that you have to read for 3 hours every day and pray for 10. But just the little things. Little obedience. I usually try to spend 15 to 30 minutes every morning before I go to work, reading and praying. A lot of times nothing sticks. But just to get in the routine of getting that word in your head. Because eventually, you do it long enough, there's going to be a situation come up. And those words, the scriptures, are going to pop up right when you need it. But if we don't read it, there's nothing there. We don't have anything to rely on. We don't have anything to go back to. The Holy Spirit has nothing to give us. That's why it's so important that we have a relationship with God. And lastly, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. It says, "My brethren, encounter all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." That doesn't sound very fun. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And wanting there means lacking. The Bible doesn't teach us that life's going to be a piece of cake, that everything's going to go easy, that we're not going to have trials or temptations. It is said when they do come, stand firm. Because when these things come, and you learn to rest, and you learn to rely on God, to remember these scriptures that we've gone through today, and stand on them, and speak them out loud, so this is going to create patience in you. This is my perfect work. This is going to create everything you need. This is going to be your foundation of who you are and what you can do. Not because of me, myself, anything that I've done, but because of what Christ has done for me, in me. And that's how we become overcomers. As greater is He who is in us than He who is in this world. Hope I didn't leave you confused. Like I said, I'm not a preacher, so it's not my strong point. But if you have any questions, please ask me. If you want one of these scriptures again, I'd be more than happy to give them to you. But be encouraged, we can overcome. It's not our strength, but we do have to make the choice to make the next right choice, next right decision. Because it's going to come. We're going to be attacked. But we don't have to be beaten. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that in your word there is spirit and there is life. Father, you said your word is like a two-edged sword, sharp enough to divide the meat from the bone. God, we stand on it, Lord, knowing that that's our strength. That's our hope. Lord, what you did for us on the cross, Lord, what you've done in each and every one of our lives, God, what you've taken us from, what you've allowed us to go through knowing, Lord. Lord, as gold has to be tried in the fire, has to get hot and bring all those impurities to the top so they can be wiped clean. Lord, that you allow these things in our lives. Lord, you said there's hope. Lord, you said you'd walk us through it. And Jesus, we trust in you. And Father, I just ask, Lord, if there's anybody here this morning who feels beat down, who feels like, God, I've made a mess of things. If you only knew what I did yesterday, last night, today. But He does know. Father, we thank you. Lord, that you still love us. Lord, that you still forgive us. And Jesus, I just ask that you would abide in each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, God, that you would guide us. Guide each and every step, each choice we make. Lord, that we would trust you and you would help us, Father, to be overcomers. We love you, Jesus. We just pray this in your name. Amen.